John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Fourth and final hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday afternoon. Talk a little baseball with our next guest. We've enjoyed our conversations with him. He lives here in Nashville. Guy that played at one of my rival high schools. In fact, the girl I dated in high school went to Tate's Creek, and she was probably right at the same age as Kevin Jarvis. He was at Tate's Creek. I was at Bryan Station. Best baseball player to come out of Bryan Station was probably Doug Flynn. I'm not sure what the – I guess the answer is, without a doubt, our next guest, Kevin Jarvis, the best to come out of Tate's Creek. Kevin, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Are you the best baseball player to come out from Tate's Creek High School?
We've had a couple of – John Shelby was Henry Clay. As you said, Doug Flynn was Tate's Creek. Austin Kearns was Lafayette. So oh. I think we've got about all four of the public schools in Lexington, Kentucky covered.
Wow, that's right. I forgot about Austin Kearns. Good pull by you. So with Son Bryce in the wings in tomorrow's first round of the MLB draft, how are the nerves right now for Dad?
Nerves are all right. You know, it's been. Because of the situation we find ourselves in, you know, typically you're so busy through the college season with the regular season, that the conference play, the ACC or SEC conference tournaments, the NCAA bursts, the regional tournaments, the super regionals, and hopefully a College World Series, that you just got your eye on the next prize and you're moving forward and you're so consumed with, as a player and as a parent, you're consumed with that next step. And then you look up, and it's June, and the draft is around the corner. Well, we find ourselves the last 3 months with having June 10th circled on the calendar, and literally nothing to occupy our minds. So it's felt like a long time coming.
Well, that's a really good point, because I guess it would be right now. This time last year, you were consumed over at the Hawk as Vanderbilt and Duke, and that incredible pitching matchup between your son and Kumar Rocker, which took place in the Super Regionals. I mean, you're right. We will be consumed with the road to Omaha, right, now, and we don't have any of that, unfortunately.
Right, exactly. So, you know, in Bryce's case, he kind of made lemons out of lemonade, so to speak, and as soon as the season was canceled, he and five of his Duke teammates got in a couple different cars and left Durham, North Carolina, and traveled south to Boca Raton, Florida. And his catcher, Michael Rothenberger, who's also likely to go this week in the draft, his family lives down there. So the five Duke baseball players went down to the Rothenberger's house in South Florida and lived for 3 months and trained at an Eric Cressy facility down there, and were able to throw together and hit together and study online together and kind of have some, you know, not normalcy, but it was a lot better than being isolated by yourself, certainly.
How did they handle losing their season? You know, your son pitched a perfect game before everything came to a screeching halt. And I remember us having Tim Corbin on literally, I think, the day before they were supposed to start up conference play in the SEC, and they were supposed to host Kentucky. And then, obviously, within a 24-hour period, everything came to a screeching halt. What was that like to go through, and then the sad reality to know that they were going to lose the rest of their season?
Well, in a word, emotional. I mean, you're talking about opportunities and life experiences that you'll never get back. And for for Bryce and the Duke Blue Devil baseball team, it was, you know, a situation where his freshman and sophomore years, they had gotten to a super regional game three in each of those years and come up one game short of Omaha and trying to punch that ticket and get the Duke baseball program back at, you know, on that map in the College World Series. And they really felt like they had the horses and the roster to do it this year and get past that last super regional final. So not only everyone was distraught, no matter what team you're on or what situation you're in, but, you know, they felt like they had been working towards this for a very long time and had a good shot of accomplishing some really fun goals. But so I think having the opportunity to not be isolated and having those five teammates together and sit around the dinner table there for several weeks and talk about seasons past and seasons present and that type of thing. And the situation was probably cathartic for them.
You know, to get back to what I said at the beginning, I forgot to bring this up at the beginning. I was actually talking to a good buddy of mine back in Lexington here recently, and you actually got brought up in the conversation because he played both football and baseball at Bryan Station, and I couldn't believe how just randomly we were telling stories, and I'm pretty sure, if memory serves me correct, he said this probably the most heartbreaking loss ever was in the districts to you guys, and he actually went up against you, and he was undefeated that season for Bryan Station. And I think you guys got a crazy grand slam to win it. And he said he will never, ever forget that game. And he said that you were the starter for Tate's Creek and Chris Heiler was the starter for Bryan Station. And he said it's a game that he still thinks of. Today he has fond memories. You know, fond memories is probably not the best way to put it. He has memories.
Vivid memories.
Vivid and hurtful memories of that tough loss.
Well, if my memory serves correctly, that we did win the Kentucky State High School Baseball Championship that year. We were on the road, but to Chris's point, the home run, the grand slam, actually was one of those, and this is pre smartphone type thing. So if it was today, it would have been the SportsCenter player that play of the day, because their left fielder, the Bryan Station left fielder, was backpedaling to deep left field, and he got close to the left field fence. The ball actually hit leather and then popped out of leather, went over the fence for the game-winning grand slam.
My friend, your memory is spot on correct. It was Chris Sayer, and Chris Heiler has never let Chris Sayer ever live that down. Yes.
I've often wondered if Chris Sayer recovered from that, because that was, as a high school baseball player, I don't know if it gets much more traumatic than that.
That is fantastic remember. That is literally what Chris Heiler was telling me, that you just walked through that play. It actually went in and out of Chris Sayer's glove and over the fence for a grand slam. You are exactly right. Well done.
Sometimes on the way to championships, you got to have crazy things happen like that. Then you start believing you're a team of destiny.
We're talking to Kevin Jarvis, longtime pitcher in the big leagues, 12 years. Spent some time as a Nashville Sound, and his son Bryce went to Brentwood Academy, and he is projected to be perhaps a first-round pick in tomorrow's Major League Baseball draft. So, Kevin, I got to know, where were you for the perfect game? Were you there in the stands, or were you following it online, watching it? How did you take that one in?
No, so both Elizabeth, my wife, and I were in Durham. We were in the stands. Interesting enough, the morning of that game, they had snowfall in Durham, and they had ice in the Durham Bulls Athletic Park, part of the stadium. So the stadium ops guys had part of the stadium roped off that you couldn't sit in. So no scouts could sit behind home plate. The parents couldn't sit. So everyone was kind of down each foul line, and it was a late February game, so it's kind of a Friday night cold temperature. But Elizabeth and I typically, when Bryce pitches, I typically don't sit still. I kind of move around, and I'm very mobile. And that particular night, it was so cold that Elizabeth and I kind of atypically sat next to each other and stayed put for the whole nine innings during the perfect game.
Wow, that's great. It's great that you were able to see that one. Another thing that we talked about yesterday, Kevin, is yesterday was the one-year anniversary because it was all over social media. That's the only reason I knew. But the one-year anniversary of Kumar Rocker's no-hitter against Duke, and Bryce pitched a gem of a game in that one, and that's going to be overlooked. But I do feel like someday people, if they go along this path, someday people might look back because I'm hoping both of these guys will end up, you know, continuing and having great careers pitching and say, you know, I was at the game where it was Kumar Rocker and Bryce Jarvis pitching, because obviously Kumar stole the show, but Bryce pitched one heck of a game. It's not like he was, you know, it's one thing to go seven plus innings, whatever he did, and give up a run, but he was on any other night, he would have been a great story because he was dominating a great lineup in his own way. He just was, he happened to be going up against the guy that had everything going that way that particular night. What an amazing night that was.
Well, I appreciate you saying that and recognizing Bryce's side of perspective on it. But, I think if you look at every opposing pitcher that has come into the Hawk against Vanderbilt over the last, you know, couple years, I would put Bryce's outing up against any of them, giving up the one run and seven-plus innings with the strikeout number he had and whatnot, especially when you consider if Duke wins that game, Duke goes to the College World Series. So that was what was on the line that night. And because Duke had won game one and that was game two, and it was the best of a three-game series. But, I think certainly both pitchers threw extremely well, and I think both pitchers have an extremely bright future, and who knows, they may meet again somewhere down the line.
Yeah, I remember Sean Kelly and David Price had a game like that in a regional, not a super regional, back in 2007. And, of course, we know Sean Kelly was the lesser known of the two back then, but he matched David Price inning for inning. And, of course, he's pitched in the big leagues for a long, long time along with David Price. So, Kevin, I want to ask you, your perspective. You broke into the major leagues in 1994. You were also still pitching in the big leagues when the labor stuff came back around and the players came to an agreement, which was a very important thing. Not to go back on strike again, to get it done was a big story at the time. So as you watch this from your perspective, what they're going through now, what goes through your mind? Are you surprised or not surprised that they're in the position they're in?
I'm frustrated just like everybody else is. Unfortunately I'm not surprised because I've been in a position to be behind the curtain, so to speak. I've been a player rep on a big league team multiple years. I've been in part of the negotiations for basic agreements and whatnot. And it's just, for whatever reason, for decades of kind of mistrust on both sides, they just haven't figured out how to, you read the words negotiate in good faith and this kind of, there's just all this gamesmanship and outside looking in, there's a big pot of money and a lot to gain. You know, you just want both sides to figure it out in an equitable way, but unfortunately, it hasn't worked that way.
When you were in those shoes, you know, you're in the trenches and you're in it. Now you're removed from it. Do you look upon it? Do you look back on it differently now, or do you still feel like everything that you guys did was justified?
No, I mean, I think, like, this conversation could, you know, we could take up all day long with it. The frustrating part about it is when you hear people talk on the radio, or you read certain articles or comment sections online nowadays, that I don't think that most people, even so-called informed people, have the entire story and perspective of that it's almost like in this particular situation, the two sides negotiated. They came up with an agreement. It's like if you go and buy a house and you agree, you sign the contract and you agree on the price of the house, and then you get to the day of the closing and you show up to sign the paperwork, and then you get to the table and like, well, you know what? We're going to change the price of the house today. So it's not going to make you feel too good. So I think that there's that side of it. There's the side of, that the value of the franchises. I just saw somewhere where, they're talking about expanding Major League Baseball, and they could sell two new franchises for $1 billion each and split the money between the other 30 teams. I think that would be a great way to recover some of this money. I think there's a lot of ways to get this done, and but having not been in the room, and I don't want to speak out of turn now because I would be doing the same thing that frustrates me is talking about it too much when I don't know all the details.
We're talking to Kevin Jarvis here on Darren Donick and Chase, and something that came up a few weeks ago. We had Tim Kirkjian on from ESPN, and this is when the process was just beginning, but he brought up a name like Tom Glavine that had gone through it, in 94 and then later on, and just had that experience and knew what the consequences were from a labor, not having labor peace, having the strike. So how much do you think the players are missing that now of not having somebody that maybe has experienced it that can advise them, hey, this is obviously it's a different situation, but advise them in a way of, hey, these are some things that you might not be able to come back from. You have to navigate this very carefully.
Well, I think experience is always valuable. Whether it's guys like Tom Glavine or, a guy like we had leading our union, Donald Fehr, having been through multiple negotiations. But I think there's culpability on all sides, probably, as frustrated and as much blame as we can throw at players and how they're not championing the game in the right way. Well, I mean, I think a similar argument can be made for, is Rob Manfred doing the right things to promote the game and grow the game. So, but to your point, I think experience is always valuable and perspective is always valuable.
Kevin, what are your thoughts on, a lot of the discussions with the minor leagues and, who knows what's going to happen as a result of this pandemic? There are so many, different leagues and teams and ways to come up through the system. Obviously your son going through the draft process and then starting his journey to hopefully eventually get to the major leagues. You remember what you went through. So when you hear of potential changes with the minors and it looking completely different than it has for so long, what are your thoughts on that?
Wow. It's a whole new world. I mean, there's so many guys. I don't have the statistics to rattle off in front of me. Maybe you do, but back when the draft even was reduced from 40 rounds to 5 rounds, it's going to be 5 rounds tomorrow and Thursday, reduced from 40 rounds. How many current big league 40 man players were drafted after the 5th round? And it was, like I said, it was a high number. It was a large percentage. And to your point, if we're reducing the number of minor league teams by 40 some, fewer teams, quite frankly, I mean, guys like me, I was a 21st round draft pick, fourth year senior, had graduated from Wake Forest, drafted 21st round. I signed for $1,000 and I ended up playing 16 years of professional baseball, 12 in the big leagues. I mean, my story wouldn't have happened. And there are not dozens, not hundreds, probably thousands like me over the years. That's somewhat sad because the minor leagues are kind of by definition Darwinian. It's survival of the fittest. Baseball is a game of repetition that you need You need to develop that skill over time and at a high level versus high level competition to kind of weed out who's going to be able to hit the 90 plus mile an hour slider on the black, or who's going to be able to locate or throw that pitch. So on a consistent basis. So I think it remains to be seen what it's going to do long term to the quality of Major League Baseball 5-10 years down the road. I don't know. I don't know the answer, but I think it's going to be different for sure.
So what's the plans for tomorrow?
Plans for tomorrow are we're going to have some family, extended family over at the house. We're going to have some friends over. We'll have a couple different rooms with TVs. The draft's going to be broadcast on two channels simultaneously. It'll be on ESPN and the MLB Network both at the same time. We'll watch the draft. The way the dynamics of the way baseball, I've been in several draft rooms having worked in scouting after my playing career, so I have somewhat of a different take on it than the average dad, but it's nonetheless going to be somewhat stressful because as the draft is going on, then teams, scouting directors, general managers will call players or their advisors or whatnot and try to get a really good sense of what it's going to take to sign. Should they call that name? Should they make that draft pick? And so with only 5 minutes between picks, there are some kind of high leverage phone calls there and decisions to be made in a short amount of time.
Well, best of luck with that to you and the family. Continue to be safe. And thanks for doing this. It's going to be cool to see how it all plays out. And I'm sure we'll talk soon. Thanks for doing this.
We got a Middle Tennessee flavor to the draft with Bryce and Hassel and Martin at Vanderbilt. So we got three Middle Tennessee guys that very, very well can go in the first round. And so that's pretty cool.
No doubt. We'll be watching for sure. Thanks, Kevin, for doing this.
All right. Take care.
That's Kevin Jarvis, former big league pitcher, spent a long time in the league, Nashvillian. His son, Bryce Jarvis, expected to go in the first round of the MLB draft. We'll come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase next.
John Daly here.
You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.